We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty? A world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
Welcome, everyone. This is Marilyn Bradford, and this is Creme de la Creme. I love saying that. It just sounds so juicy and yummy. And I am an Access Consciousness facilitator, and I am here today with my wonderful co-hosts and other of the seven leaders for a conscious world, and Maxwell, and we have Lisa Benson, and Susanna Mittermeier, and Tamara Yonker. Welcome, all of you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And today we have a very, very special, amazing guest, Katarina Wallington. She is Dr. Dane Heer's Access Consciousness Communicator Coordinator, and she is also one of the most prolific and amazing creators that I've ever met. Her mind, or whatever it is, just works like a gazillion miles an hour, and she creates this, and I'm like, wow. So, welcome, Katarina.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a wonderful intro. And now I'm going to try to live up to that, right? Radio show.
So today create or die, and I think I'll just read the description to sort of to set the tone. What if creation doesn't look at all the way you think it does? What if you could create in a way that works for you as the speed of space? And what if that is what living really is for you? Katarina Wallington, Dr. Dane Heer's Communication Coordinator, has a background in communication for international organization and is continuously looking at a different paradigm of creation. Join us for a lively conversation that may corrupt, undoubtedly will, all of your limited points of view of creation that you've bought from this reality. What would be possible if you were using the tools of Access to continuously create and generate more than you ever thought you were capable of? Are you ready to be that alive? Woohoo! Katarina, I was talking with you. You did send over this title of Create or Die. Would you be willing to just start off by talking a little bit about what that means to you and anywhere you want to go with that, any of the ways that you create or tips you have for people, or let's just roll.
Well, I would say basically this create or die thing comes from what I've looked at with myself. I would say that most of the time people say, would used to say that I had so much going on, I should really take it much easier. I should like look at what kind of projects I was doing and maybe cut them down a bit. And what I realized is that for me, creation is when I am alive. And when I have too little to do or too few things going on to like activate my energies, that actually is slightly like dying. It's like the actual, and I'm talking about creation, I'm not talking about doing. There's a difference between creation and doing. So if I did a lot of things, like if I had a lot of, I had to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that, that, yes, that makes me tired as well. But the actual, the sense of creation, when you actually are creating something that's never existed in the world before, something new, something that expands things, something that creates something greater than was there previously, that's the sense of being alive. That's the sense of actually contributing to something, which for me is living. And it doesn't mean it's like that for everyone. It really doesn't. But for me, that's been the one thing more than anything else that really has guided me like into what I find to be a way more fun life, where I'm actually, it actually feels like I am alive, that I'm like, you know, touching things every day and creating something new. So that would be the thing about create or die. And I get that a lot of people actually have misapplied and misidentified creating as doing. So that would actually be maybe one of the first places to start. I'm not sure if you want to, I'm not sure how much clearance you do here, or if you do or if you don't on this radio show.
In Florida at the Access Consciousness Advanced Body Class in this absolutely gorgeous resort. And anytime, you know, you're in an Access class, creation is going on. It just is. All kinds of new things are being created, and there's just a sense of, oh, my gosh, oh, wow. And here we are in this very, very fancy, very large resort, and you saw a lot of people, most of them older, but not all of them, who were doing their day. At 8 o'clock, we have tennis. At 10 o'clock, we have golf. Then we have lunch at the club. Then we have a nap. Then we have, you know, and it was, and the difference in the energy, I think, was exactly what you were speaking to. The difference between
the
people who were filling up with doing and the creating that was going on in the advanced body class. So I love that.
And that is truly like, it's like a substitution for living. It's the doing. And creation is when you continuously stay in the question. Like continuously stay in the question of, you know, what out, really out creating yourself. What can I create that will actually kind of out create myself today? And one of the things that has been really helpful is this new way of looking at things that we've used for, I think, like about 2 months in Access, is the mimicking process, where you actually look at how much of your life is actually you mimicking everyone else. You're not creating your own life, you're creating somebody else's life because you're just mimicking them. And that's a lot where the doing comes from. We think we're creating when we're doing because that's what everyone else around us do. That's what our parents have done. That's what we picked up from others. But if you stopped mimicking, what would you create? That's really where it gets interesting. If I didn't, you know, go to tennis, or if I didn't go and do all these things that's on the schedule, like that's on my, you know, what I've learned from my parents' schedule for my life, what if I didn't follow that? What would I choose to create? What would my life really be like if I did not follow the pre-planned plan for my life? That's back to, that's exactly that. So thank you, Marilyn. That was such a great example of what I look at doing and not creating your life. So, yes, and I'm pretty sure some other people on the call have the same experience.
Yes. Yes.
Total
sense. So one of the things that I keep getting back to kids because that's what I do a lot of, and kids are constantly creating, and when they play, it's really I just create. Play really is it. Gary Douglas has said that play is the energy of creation, it's the energy of life and living, and what you're describing, Katarina, is a lot like kids play, where they go from one thing to the next. It's not pre-planned, it's not set out. It was interesting. I've done several workshops on play, and when I ask questions of parents about how they play with their kids, one of the questions I ask is, do you structure your child's play, or is it sort of free-form? And so many of them say that it's structured, and then I ask, do you set the rules, or do you let your kids set the rules? No, we set the rules, right? And it's, and really what they've created is not play, as opposed to play, which is going for it, it's really tapping into the energy of whatever it is in the moment that is fun and exciting and I don't know, creative, expansive, nurturing, whatever adjectives you want to use. And then when they're done with that, moving on to the next and to the next and to the next. And I just, as a play therapist, I've watched some kids who are just extraordinary use almost every toy in the playroom and in so many different ways, and they have like these incredible ways of creating beyond the toys, so that it's not just creating with the toys but creating beyond them, and it's like phenomenal, right? And I just wonder, at what age does that get stamped out? And then what about tools to tap back into that, right? To do what you're talking about, to be that,
right?
Not to be
and
that.
One of us.
That's a great question, Anna. What age does that stamp get stamped out, and how? My mother actually ran a nursery school for a university when I was growing up, and she would talk about how don't give kids, and back then they weren't as elaborate as they are now, don't give kids like something that's already finished. Give them a set of blocks and see what they want to do with it, and give them
right,
a set
exactly.
of and this kind of thing. And what I'm noticing more and more is when we're giving kids just video games or, you know, now we have all this entertainment, it's actually, it seems to me, more and more and more taking the true creation out of life and encouraging people to create less, you
right.
know, rather than create more. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, but also watching my 10-year-old who plays with all these video games, she does the most amazing things with them. She then creates them into her play,
yeah.
and she walks around dressing up like the avatar that she just watched there, and she looks really funny, and she basically out-creates the video games.
Right.
Like, that's what the capacity
yeah.
that we have. And what I would like to look at, I'm wondering if the kid in you actually ever died. I would
right.
be willing to say that when we tap into creation, that's the kid in us. That is that energy that's coming alive again. And there are some really simple tools like that we've had from Access, which is like, what's fun for me today? What's easy for me today? What would like to play with me today? All those questions that seem so easy are really like starting up the energy in you. What would be easy for me to do today? What would be fun? What calls to me today? And there's some kind of energy there. It's like we want to disregard it because it's too easy. It's like those questions are really too easy. But that's what kids do. What do I want to play with? They walk into the room and they look at their things and like, oh, I want to play with this one. What if that could be an energy that you actually used to find that creation energy of what would I like to create today? What would be fun? What would be easy? And it takes me back to this choice or necessity, which is also one of those tools that I use a lot. It's like creation really comes from choice. It doesn't come from necessity. So as soon as something turns into this necessity, which is like even play can do that for kids. Like you have to play now. Go into
right.
the room and play. How much
right.
fun is that? Like that, oh, kids stop playing when you tell them to play. That's like, doesn't work for them because it becomes a necessity instead of being this choice, like which really comes from, like you say, from anything, like from some things on the table or for whatever like occurs in there that connects, like they're different things that are connecting in their head. They create something
yeah.
different from.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, what if we really have, what if it never died? What if that kid in you, that amazing creative capacity of that being is still in there? What you are looking for is to access it. Like to access that creation that comes with ease and with joy. And the most fun I have can be like an afternoon where I'm really just creating, and it's very useful what I'm creating, but I'm like doing it in ease and in play, and I can be there for hours without even noticing that they go by because it's playing for me. It's like you say, Anne, I'm actually as happy as I was when I was a kid and could play with like by myself in a room with
right.
dolls forever.
Right.
Katharina, what do you say to people who say, well, but you know, I'm an adult now with responsibilities and I need to go to the office and my to-do list is 16 pages long. How can you talk about play when I have all of this responsibility?
Well,
really light,
well I would
it?
Say that, but that one is easier than when they say they don't have any money and they have to like go to work to get money. So, but if you put responsibility and money kind of in the same, but they usually are. Like, I have to go to the office. I have to make money to take care of my family. And if I don't do that, I'll lose my apartment. And, yeah, I would say that the pain, like the resistance and reaction to it creates part of where you can't find the joy of creation, like the resistance you have to it from the very beginning, because you do have resistance and reaction to even go to work because you really don't want to go there. You really have decided you have to. So the decision and the conclusion, like you even have to go back to the basics, the conclusion or the decision is stopping you from looking at what else is possible with this. So yes, there are things you have to do to make money. Like that's not really, that will always, if that's what you need to do to, if that's what you've chosen to have a family and you want to, I do. I mean, I want to take care of my daughter. I want to live nicely and all that. So I will do a lot of things that may not seem fun at the moment. But when I have the energy of creation, I will actually do them as part of that, right? I can be creating my life if I go from that point of view. So I will do boring stuff, like what I find boring, administrative stuff, bookkeeping, all those things. I will do those because they're part of like this larger picture where I'm creating my life. It may not be fun, but it's part of that. But it won't work if I don't have that sense of play now and then as well. So I would go back with that person and look at where have you made this a necessity? What conclusions do you have of what you have to do? And maybe even to this, what have you made so vital that it's controlling you in this particular area? So like kind of undoing the conclusions that's sticking them there. Does that make sense, Marilyn? Or
yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I think that people think it has to be either or. All right, now I'm not going to be the child anymore, you know. And actually what I find is it's almost like stepping to the side, because I still get into all these shoulds and oughts and, oh, my gosh, I've got, you know, 8 clients in a row today and all that. And sometimes just like you were bringing up the energy of question, just asking the question, okay, what would it take for this to be fun? And I ask that a lot whenever I'm, quote, faced with something that I've decided I'm required to do. I'm like, what would it take for this to be fun? And what can I be and do different? And what energy can I be that would create this as play and choice rather than necessity? And sometimes just the expansiveness of asking those questions really makes...
I love the idea of, you know, the whole point of looking at it, you don't have to choose either or. What if you could be the kid having fun being an adult? And what if you could be the adult having fun being the kid? And what if those were actually simultaneous? Like the whole time, what if that's a different way of looking at the whole thing?
Hey, Katarina, Susanna here. It's so cool listening to this because I had this today. I was like, I had this big to-do list, like lots of stuff, you know, like majorly. And my body was like, nope, we're not going to sit there and work through the to-do list. So I asked, so what, you know, what can I do different? What can I, you know, what's possible to actually, you know, create? So I went to the zoo, you know, animal zoo. And in Vienna, and it was really fun, you know, looking at the looking at all the animals, and you know, I looked at them, and I'm like, you know, they don't have this point of view of having things to do. They're in constant creation, like the whole nature is. And so while I was in the zoo and receiving, you know, the animals, receiving the nature, looking at the fun and the joy they be, I'm like, oh wow, that is actually what I be too, and. So what I realized, I got all these ideas of what else is possible to create that set me off to create something that's beyond my to-do list. And I got this thing where, you know, so many people do what you just talked about, this creating a separation between work and free time, which is really weird, actually, because it's like, what if there's not a separation between our work thing, the work energy, and the free time and play energy? What if we actually could combine that and have fun, you know, like you say, you know, when we do our bookkeeping or administrative stuff, you know? So kudos to the animals. That helped me.
Well, cool. And thank you for that, Susanna. I think that will be a great thing to continue talking about. We are now going to take a short break, and we will be back with more of the leaders and Katarina, who is just got these wonderful ideas about play and creation and how to turn your life around and work from a different, or actually work, play from a different paradigm. All right.
There you go.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to pam@accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Okay, getting at me now, getting it in there, Miller.
Welcome back. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I am here with Ann Maxwell and Lisa Benson and Tamara Yonker and Susanna Mittermeier and our special guest, Katarina Wallenken, who is just an incredible, a creator of magnitude. And when we lift off, I knew Susanna was talking about having gone to the zoo and getting all these ideas, and it was like, oh, wow, that really sparked something in me. And recently I was on a call with a friend, and we were talking about judgment. And she, this Susie Godsey, works a lot with animals and how in the kingdom of animals there is no judgment. And it was just like this boink knocked me on the head that judgment and creation cannot actually coexist. And if you're trying to create from judgment, you're not creating. I don't know what you're doing. You're probably mimicking, going back to what Katarina was talking about earlier. But if anybody would else like to say anything about that, or anything else.
Well, that actually ties in really. We were talking in the about how vulnerability and the willingness to be vulnerable with yourself actually is one of those great stepstones for becoming a great creator. And there's several parts of that. Like, vulnerability actually means that you are willing to receive anything. And it includes judgment. You just don't buy it as real. Like, you receive everything, and you're willing to be wrong. You're willing not to be perfect. You're actually willing not to be perfect, which means that you actually can, you know, don't have to defend your creations. You can, you know, create them again or redo them. You can take in more information. You're
when you're being vulnerable, when you're not defending, when you're willing to be wrong, that's a time when your creations can continuously become greater. They can continuously develop and go forward. If you have to be perfect and if you have to defend them, you lock them in place, you conclude them, and really nothing else can come in. And I would say that that's when they die. So again, back to the create or die, it's like that's when your creations kind of, you know, because they're concluded, they're ended, nothing worse can happen with them. You're going to defend them to death. So that's where you are. If you're vulnerable, you can actually take in more information.
You know, it's interesting because I just completed a book, yay, that's coming out this week. But the whole process of that, I really had to get over my ideas of perfectionism and including everything. And at one point, we actually threw out, I think over the working with my editor, we threw out 80 pages.
Wow.
And it was like, wow. 80 pages I wrote. But when we looked at the energy of it, and that's so much for me, what I'm learning about creation, is looking at the energy of it. Well, those pages actually contribute to the book and contribute to my target, which is empowering people to move beyond addiction and compulsive behavior, or do they actually detract? Not that they weren't in and of themselves okay for what they were talking about, but they did not contribute to this particular project. And it was amazing because it actually opened me up to a whole different level of just asking questions rather than defending what I had created. So thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, if we have to defend anything, it doesn't work.
Well, also, I mean, perfect in itself is a judgment. I mean, if you're perfect, you're concluded, you continuously have to judge. It's old. I mean, it's when you...
You're cutting out a bit, Katarina. Katarina?
So she's coming and going far away from Sweden. You know, it's cold up here. The technical stuff sometimes freezes along the way, so it's not always easy to reach America where it's sometimes warmer. So we have to be here with her. She does not away.
She'll be back in just a second.
Okay, outstanding.
So the energy, can I just tell this really quick story about the energy of judgment and creation? And because there is, so I had a six-year-old that was brought in to see me because his mom, who was very rigid and rule-bound, said that he was out of control and getting in trouble in school and blah, blah, blah. And I said, can you give me an example? And she said, well, yeah. Last week he was told that he needed to draw a tree and a house and a person. And then she held up a piece of paper and she said, this is what he drew. And it was absolutely stunning. It was this beautiful tree that had a house built inside it, like a tree house with a person sitting in the tree house, right? And because it wasn't a separate tree house and person, he got in trouble. And it's like, God, is it right? Is it any wonder that creative sort of spirit gets like stomped out? It's just one of my favorite one of my new favorite examples of that deal about judgment. So then he goes right to the, a lot of kids refuse to go to the judgment of themselves, but the adults around them say, you know, that was wrong. You didn't do the assignment right, blah, blah, blah. And that's really where the seeds, like this insidiousness that we've talked about on so many calls of defending other people against us, right?
Yes.
That somehow they're right and we're wrong, because if we'd gotten the topic right, then if we listened and followed directions, then we wouldn't have screwed up. And it just seems to be such a common theme in creation as adults, right, of that whole thing of, oh, I blew it, I didn't do it right, rather than the lightness.
Well, I love what you just said. So incredibly heavy, and yet that's what we hear all the time. If I'd listened and followed directions, I wouldn't have screwed up. Wow.
Hi,
I called in on my mobile. Sorry about that. Now, before I was...
No. I think Lisa was saying it's freezing from Sweden over here to America. So technology, so, see, in any way. Great, welcome back.
I have this great thing. Thank you, but I'm guessing we're not on air now.
No, we are.
On the air. I have this great thing going. Are we on air?
Yeah,
on the air. Keep going with it. Keep going with it.
Okay. Oh, what were we saying? That was a little... Oh, so I had this... Okay, so the thing is that, you know, perfect is actually a judgment. Perfect, you have to judge yourself or not perfect all the time. And then in journalism, one of the things we do say, like, that I've been working as a journalist for years is kill your darlings. And that is basically being willing, like you did, Marilyn, to kill the pages that actually do not contribute to creation, even though you spend all those 20 hours on your butt writing them, which is why we don't want to kill them, because we put so much effort in. But if you look at it, if you look at the energy when you get rid of them, it's a beautiful energy. That's like the uncreate and destroy, and that lets something new in. There's something that can be created when you're willing to uncreate and destroy your creations and actually don't hold on to them at all, like anything. Just, okay, I created this. What else is possible? How can I outcreate this? But that way of being, that way of functioning, is one of those we haven't learned. We learn to hold on to things. We learn to, like, value what we put a lot of sweat and, you know, blood into. Instead of just, wow, I created this. Oh, wow, I'm going to throw this over here. And now what can I create? So, truly, and my other thing to you, Marilyn, is what if you were vulnerable enough to be a huge success? What if... That is something you may want to look at, too. What would that change in your life?
I love it. Can you say more about that, uh-huh, Katarina? I think you probably just confused a lot of people. What do you mean, what if I were vulnerable enough to be a huge success?
Well, so look at this, the mimicking thing we talked about. It's like, what we're actually, most people, like, we seem to strive for success, and we seem, but most people, the easiest thing to be in life is to be not too successful, like to kind of not race above you. I can never say that. Race above your racing, race above your,
yes,
like not go above, not become more, not become more than your parents. Yes,
it's don't go above your rising.
You don't go above your lucky. Thank you. I needed an American to say that.
Yeah,
yeah, but like not become more than your parents, and not like outcreate the people around you, because if you do, you become something that may be threatening to them, that may separate you from them in somehow that you decided. So we kind of keep our success at the medium level. Like, we don't really want to be this true success and actually kind of risk going out on that. Remember that Harrison Ford film when he's going to walk out and take that step into the unknown, and he doesn't know if there's a bridge under his foot. And the only thing he really has to trust to walk out there, that's what success is. Like, really, are you willing to be so vulnerable that you're willing to receive everything that comes with that? That you're actually willing to walk into the unknown area of success? So everything
wow.
you're going to allow that, would you be willing to uncreate and destroy that?
Yes. Yes.
Right and wrong in a metaphor on that short voice to be on.
This is like total receiving beyond control. Oh, my God. This is like where you have to give up, like, control and being totally out of control,
yes.
right?
Way yeah. more than when you don't succeed.
Can you
wow.
talk a little bit more about
so
that when the people are starting to become successful, how they very easily destroy that in 2 seconds?
Yeah, well, I would say that a lot of people, even... Even when you hire people, like if you work with a team of people, you hire somebody that has wanted to be hired for a long time, and then they get hired, and they basically then succeeded, right? They've been working, but then they destroy it because they don't really know what to do with this. They don't know how
yes.
to act once they actually are at their goal, right? It's really funny how when you watch people destroy, they work for something for a long time, they get there, and then they destroy it because they don't know how to be it once they get there. So I'm thinking one of these things is truly, it is truly the vulnerability of stepping into the unknown. So let's go into the trust part, because the trust is also part of creation. Like, truly,
trust that you know what you know, that you actually trust yourself. So, Marilyn, for example, with your book, and I know Susanna also has a book just came out, so now you have this book. Now, this book in the world is the authority, right? It's, you've written a book. It's you. It's the authority of you. Now, you actually have to trust you to be that authority. You have to trust you to not trust the book, because the book is just, you know, it's just a book, but you have to trust you as much as you trust the book. It's like, it's truly this, this to truly create and to truly be willing to create greatness, you have to have trust in you.
It's and like, well, it also is, I think. Yeah. It's really cool because when I, the book, like we mentioned the book, it's like the book is like your friend. Like I have it, had it out since September, and all those months, it really asked me to step up. Like it challenged me to step up. It's like this friend, this business partner that constantly asks me to be more. And I always ask, like, who else, who and what else can I add that, you know, that asks that of me, you know? It's like, thank you for that. Thank you for that perspective.
And also, there's this whole thing that when you're talking about someone achieves their goal, like they come and work for you, and then they start, you know, okay, my goal is to work for Katarina, work for Access, and then they destroy it. I mean, one of the things that I've become aware of the book, because I put so much into it this year, was that, okay, now what? It's like you were saying, you create something, and then if you don't go to, okay, now what? What's my next creation? Then it's like you stop everything. That's the die part. If you create, you achieve your goal, whatever that looks like, and you stop, that's the die part. So,
and
that's
funny
come
because
up,
we're for,
yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. That's one of the key, and we forget, like, in Access, we don't usually talk about goals for this very reason. Because once you achieve it, then you have to destroy it because you're like, So we talk about targets, but with creation, it's very easy, especially if you do like a, if you do a creation that's kind of physical, like a book or create a video or a website or whatever that's kind of like tangible, it's very easy that that becomes a goal. Like you kind of identify it as a goal, and then it's like all the air disappears. You kind of like die when it's there. Now, viewing it as Susanna does, as your friend, and even as a challenging friend, I think is brilliant. Because that way, the book will inspire you to become greater. And you're giving it a life outside you. You're not making the book you. You're actually allowing the book to be a creation, like outside you. And you can give it energy, and you can play with it, and you can allow it to irritate you, and you can, like, push it, and they can push you. So you're playing with the book, and that could be, it's like, one of the ways that I, if I'm allowed to borrow from you, to talk to people about, because that actually seems like a better way of interacting with the creation. It's a different way of interaction. So that's kind of cool. I like it.
It's really cool.
I
can
do that.
We can have it with any kind of creation.
We're taking a break right now. And as soon as we come back, we'll be able to talk more about this whole business of actually moving beyond your what you currently created and going on with what Susanna was talking about of making that last creation your friend. So how does it get any better than that? We will be right back. Thank you all so much.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back, everyone. What a great, fun, amazing show. I'm just feeling so creative and generative right now, I can hardly stand it. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I'm here with our special guest, Katarina Wellington, and also with leaders for our conscious world, Tamara Younger, Susanna Mittermeier, Leeson Benson, and Ann Maxwell. And I believe that Ann Maxwell has something to say.
Okay, so this is the confession, all of you listeners out there. Now in the future, when we went on break, I said, hey, you guys, I wrote a book, and it came out. It was published in November, and I never told anybody about it. And everybody started screaming with laughter. And then I said, and then I have another one that's coming out this Friday or next Monday. And I haven't told anybody about that one either. And Katarina said, so, are you afraid of success? And it's like, oh, my God. Right? There's this mimicking thing. There's not wanting to make other people mad, not wanting to, just old stuff. But the creation of the books was really a lot of fun. I mean, it was wonderful, and I had a great time doing it, and it was not hard work. It wasn't hard at all. And then now that I'm at this end and I have the product, it's like, okay, now what do I do? And when you were talking before about, Susanna was awesome about having the book be a friend, I've started to tap into the energy of that and to get out of all the excuses about what it's not, and as opposed to like the magic that it is. And yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, we all had experiences, and I'll just call it that instead of creations, because I think most people relate to experiences, of having been ridiculed for what we created as children. I certainly was. Oh, well, you can't draw. You know, kind of like the example you were bringing up, Anne, with that child.
Right.
So we take other people's judgments of our creations as a reason to shut down and not talk about them or not show them to anybody.
Right.
What a travesty.
Well, so, and that's actually beautiful, because I think that's where, like, you have fun while you create, Anne. And just look, so during this call, this changed for you. That's also something to notice. Like, that's how easy it is. Like, it can actually change just by looking at something different. But the thing is that I agree totally with Marilyn. I think we're stuck in something that we've experienced earlier, and we bought it as true, and if we do this again, it'll happen again. Like, I'd be ridiculed. So I'm willing to play with it, but I'm not willing to show up with it in the world. Now, I would say that one of the things I've been looking at, too, with creation is honoring. So it's both about honoring you and your creation, but it's also about honoring your creation. So if you look at your books, and the two books that are like your creations, what are your creations willing to be used for? What would it,
right.
How would it look like if you honored your creations? How do they want to be treated? And how are you willing to be used by them? You know, like those kind of questions, if you look at it more from go away from the mimicking or from whatever conclusion you came to where you, it's actually based on judgment or the unwillingness to receive judgment. But if you instead looked at, what, you know, what are they willing to be used for? How are you willing to be used by your creations to get out in the world? What would be honoring in this? Like, because often what I've noticed is when we get angry about creations, when we feel like we're not received or our creations are not appreciated, it's usually that we're not honoring of our creations. We don't really need all those other people, but we do need to honor our creations ourselves. Like, we need to really honor the fact that we had fun, and we need to look at what they're willing to be used for. So if you look at that right now, I mean, how would your creations, how would your books like to be used? What would be honoring for them?
Right.
And, you know, Katerina, when you say that, I think, like, many listeners wonder, so what are creations? I mean, we talk about books, and what else is a creation? I mean, people create gardens, people create relationships. People create businesses, people create their kids having an easy time, you know, they're like any time, like,
and they create their kids.
They create the kids. The kids are creation, right?
Yes, right. They are.
So it's like, really, what is a creation? And like, if we talk more about that so people can relate to what is it actually we're talking about and how can we use them?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, too, because there's a difference between, like, a lot of people think that we talk about creativity, but that's not really what we're talking about is creation and being a great creator. And creator really is, for me, it's anything that you bring to life.
Mm.
I don't know if that's probably not an ideal definition. I'm not sure if that's it, but it is
it's
for
great.
Me what you bring to life. And
beautiful,
and that could be then a child or a book, or your life, your living, how you create your living, how you set up your house or whatever your friends. And I think that it's such a brilliant question, because even by looking at creation that way, what you bring to life, you will start to look at all the things that you bring to life every day, which is actually creation, which is actually... And take you out of the, because a lot of people have the judgment that they really don't create anything. Like, they just kind of hang out and don't do it. But what if, you know, there could be, I would say there are a lot of people that create beautiful things every day with people just by being friendly to someone. They create a difference in somebody's life. So there's
so much
creation going on.
So for today, for example, I went and got a manicure and a pedicure, and I went to this place, and the owner of the place, she worked on my feet. And so I looked at this because we had this call coming up with creation. So I looked at, so what is she creating with this company? You know, this, I don't know what it's called in English, but manicure, pedicure company. And so what I saw was her extreme caring and kindness that she's being, and how she's being that with her employees, and how this is creating this wonderful place where, you know, most of them were young girls just starting out working with her. And I noticed how when she was being with them and the way she's talking to them, how that is creating so much ease for these girls to have the space of stepping up and creating more for themselves and for the business. So I could really see energetically what she's creating with the energy she's being. So I could, like, this was kind of like a different perspective on being and creating, and I was sure that she wasn't aware that she was doing it because she's just being it. It's so natural and so normal for her. So she wasn't really aware what she was doing. But it's so easy for somebody else to see what you're doing. But if you're being it and it's so easy for you, you don't even notice it. So it's basically what is so natural and easy to you that's this element of creation that we usually don't acknowledge, right?
Right. Yeah, it's the area where we're brilliant at creation,
but we don't even know we're creating because for us it's being.
Exactly. Yes.
That's beautiful. And one of the things that seems to be running through this call a lot, and I just want to point it out because it's so obvious, is the gratitude. Like, you know, even when Aunt talks about her books that she hasn't told anyone about, she still has this element of gratitude in her voice for the joy that she had when she created them, for the joy that she was able to create them, that she had that possibility in her life. And, you know, Susanna, when she talks about her book, it's this total, like, gratitude for this book that keeps poking her to become something greater. And
right.
Marilyn has this gratitude for being, you know, being willing to work with this editor and actually getting rid of those pages. There's a gratitude for yourself for making that choice. And I get that a lot of true creation comes from gratitude, not for the result, but for everything that shows up and everything that comes to life and everything that's created. Like this gratitude, like nearly like the childish awe, you know, when you go, wow, look, look. This
and to, and to this make it, it's kind of a cliche, but it's actually so true. I mean, one of the things that I realized when I was working on my book, and I had like four trips out to Santa Barbara to work with the editor, and who became a great, amazing friend, is that it really is about the process, not just about the final product. You know, it's not like, okay, do anything to create this product. It's like, oh my goodness, this, it's actual, the energy of creating constantly and continuously, and what else could be put here, and what else could this look like, and what else would this like to be, and talking with it and everything, that's what's so exciting.
So, Kat, are you saying that once the product's been created, that you, what Marilyn's talking about, those are the same questions that you continue with?
It'll even shine through. So Marilyn is correct. Like, the process is really, like, that's the creation, and it continues to be the creation. Like, whatever, like, once you have the book, but it's still the creation of, you know, getting the book out in the world or playing with the book or whatever. But I get that all these elements, the vulnerability, the question, the trust and gratitude and the honor, all of those, if you have those continuously during the process, if that's how you function when you create, and it can really be everything from parenting, right? Creating the way you parent, or a book, or creating your body, like all of those. But if you have these elements, like question, trust, gratitude, honor, vulnerability, allowance, if you have them with you, it'll shine through the whole product. It'll actually, the product that comes out from that will be a different kind of product than the one that comes out from, you know, the production or the result-oriented process where you want to bang out a book that has all the elements that you've learned that you should have in a personal development book or something like that. That's a completely different book than the one that you have from this.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so
don't you know when you go to a look at books, you can tell the difference? Because energetically, they're very different. You know, something that's actually has those elements of intimacy, the honor, trust, allowance, gratitude, and vulnerability, and something that is, okay, I have the 15 elements of a self-help book, so buy me. You know, it's like,
exactly. Yeah, and I trust that people actually know this, like in a way that the people you're looking at reaching, it does go through the energy. Now, some people will still buy the personal development book that has the five pieces that are supposed to be there because they're mimicking and they want to find the perfect book. But that's really, for me, still a product, and they're doing what I'm looking at when I talk about create or die. If we go back to this, it's creation that comes from, like, continuous creation, and it comes from actually going to these elements and create from them. So that's a very different energy of creation, and that's really what creates living, like that part of. So does that make sense if we back up to that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting. It even really ties back to us changing our title from The Value of Controversy to Creme de la Creme, because what we were looking at with the energy of Creme de la Creme is each person being that incredible, over-the-top creator that they are. You know, and that's
exactly
what the top is. Yeah. Being who you actually truly be, and from that, you know, what comes from that is going to be phenomenal.
And even looking at, like, I would say the old paradigm, like the old world industrialism and things are like result and production designed to keep you in judgment. While the new paradigm, like the new world that we're looking at, that's creation, generation, choice, possibility, question. And that's what really excites me to say. Just thought I'd add that.
And that's one of the things I so love about being around you, being in your classes, Katerina, is pretty much generally you're excited about things. And it is the energy of creating, always. Oh, what could come from this? Well, what could come from this? Well, you know, what could come from this?
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful energy.
Thank you. And that's actually one of the, you know, that's one of those things that comes natural to me, like Susanna talked about, that I don't even think about. Like, I've always had that. I've always had that way of functioning. So it's a gift that comes totally natural. And with time, it develops. Like any gift you have, like now I know that actually gives me more energy. If I choose to go there instead of blah, that will give me less energy towards the day. So it is also a choice. It's not something that it's a choice to choose to go for enthusiasm. So what would it take if we choose, when it comes to that choice, going for the blur or the enthusiasm?
For the blur?
We actually choose enthusiasm instead of the blur, and which is like, what else is possible? What can you create with this? What haven't I looked at yet?
Yes, and that's a great way. Unfortunately, we could talk about this for hours. We are out of time for today, but ending with Katerina, and what else is possible? And that is such a great question for creation, for creating. So thank you so much. I would just like to thank Katerina Wellington so much. Thank you, Katerina, for being with us today and lending this amazing wisdom and insight and whatever you want to, whatever it else, this creative energy, this creation for our call today, creme de la creme. Thank you, Katerina.
Thank you, Katerina. Thank you. Had a lovely time.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Ann Maxwell, Tamer Yonker, Leeson Benson, and Susanna Mittermeier for being on today and all of their contributions. And please join us next week, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And also, Dr. Dane here, Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, and Dr. Dane here, his business partner, are on every Thursday on the Empowerment Channel, Voice of America, at 2 p.m. Pacific. So thank you all. We look forward to talking with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Creme de la Creme today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the creme de la creme in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?